So you ready? All right, let's do this. Episode 22, Nick and Matt's Infinite Shit List. I am Matt.
And I'm also Matt.
That's right. No Nick today.
Finally.
Finally, we have gotten rid of him once again. No, Nick is doing time in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, and they say that you're supposed to kick somebody's ass or become somebody's bitch on the first day, or you're going to have a rough time.
So I hope that worked out for you.
Whichever way.
Well, I was going to say he's still there, so I'm assuming that he is someone's bitch. He is Fort Wayne's bitch.
Yeah.
I think he'd agree with that.
Yeah, and that is not an easy lay.
Yeah, it's rough. For those of you that don't know, our special guest Nick this evening, Matt, is Matt Armstrong from the band Murder by Death. He tours a lot. He's our friend. He drinks a lot. I don't know why we haven't had you on the program before.
You know what? Better late than never.
That's true, yeah. Unless we're talking about a pregnancy scare. And then better never than late. That's...
Well, yeah, that's what
right?
I say.
Okay, I don't know. I could be getting confused there. Let's get right to the alcohol of choice for today.
Not in anticipation.
If you had to guess, what would you think it is?
You know what? I don't have a guess.
You don't want to guess? Okay. Today, we will be going to the Ice House.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll each be drinking a 32-ounce Ice House. It says that it's ice brewed below freezing. Which it seems impossible, right? Because it would be a solid then. How do you brew?
It would
be a chunk of things. That's mining at that point. That's not brewing, that's mining.
It's mining, you're right.
So we'll twist the caps.
But this is not a house on the label. It's a brewery encased in ice, it appears.
Exactly. But apparently that's an ice house, which I guess is like before there were refrigerators, there were entire buildings that were acting. This is a theory. If anybody out there has the internet and can look up what an ice house was...
Yeah, we're all ears.
You look up what Ice House was, we're about to tell you what Ice House is. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh, it's got a bitterness to it that I was not expecting.
Yeah, kind of a jilted lover in a bottle sort of thing.
So like maybe that's the ice aspect of the Ice House. Now, love has turned cold. This right. is what cold love tastes like.
This is the taste of cold love in a surprisingly ergonomically pleasing to the hand container.
I think maybe this is a good way to measure the hand. I think you have a 32-ounce hand.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. So, I don't know what that... I'm sorry.
And we just started drinking.
We also have a secondary surprise halftime little boost that we'll be doing as well.
Okay.
So look forward to that. Matt, you are in Murder by Death. What have you guys been up to lately?
We've been doing a little bit of touring and a lot of writing.
Okay. Like blogging? Like live journal? You guys all got your own different live journals going?
There's some poetry, but more prose.
Okay. Can you recite one of the poems off the top of your head? Do you remember?
It's a secret.
It's a secret poem.
It's a secret poem.
For when love has gone cold.
Yes.
You read it alone in your ice house. Excellent. So as you can tell, listeners, I'm a little out of practice on the hosting. It's been a while since we've had an episode.
That's cool. This will be like jazz you can laugh to. Well,
that's the new slogan of Nick and Matt's Infinite Shit List. Jazz you can... So basically it's just jazz.
Yeah,
you're saying. It's modern jazz. Okay, excellent.
Without the heroin.
That's what we're doing here. All right, so you guys are... you're writing a new record?
We are writing a new record.
All right. Do you have a title for the record?
No.
If anyone has a suggestion for the title of the new Murder by Death record, please send it to us at nickandmatt, nickandmatt, @gmail.com. Now, some of your former titles have been in Italian.
One of them is in Italian.
Uh-huh. The rest, gibberish, right?
Basically.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's try to avoid that. Let's not do the gibberish route. It's been done. Italian, nobody likes them. Let's not go that route again.
Yeah, well, you know, it's...
What are some themes of the record so people can have some ideas?
Well, there's a few of the new jams are kind of about Indiana a little bit.
All right.
Not, you know, Heartlandy Mellencamp kind of thing, but just sort of things that we've witnessed or just, you know, how things have changed.
Well, okay. So it's sort of about how the Heartland has changed. in the past 20 years or so, let's say, in your guys' experience?
There's some of that.
You know, so it is basically a note-for-note cover of Scarecrow. You said it's not like John Cougar Mellencamp, but essentially that's what
Scarecrow is Mellencamp.
It is Mellencamp. It's not like Mellencamp. It is Mellencamp.
Right. It is not similar because it is identical.
Scarecrow 2.
Yeah. There's a bunch of songs about banging Meg Ryan and her post-plastic surgery disaster face.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that. We've talked about it a few times on the program already. Man. As he is our local celebrity. He's obviously the biggest celebrity in Indiana, outside of Peyton Manning, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Why do you think he was possessed? Well, do you think he was possessed? Do you think the devil, do you think demons are at play here?
Maybe she has some kind of magical powers that made her resemble a demon, so he thought he better just do whatever the fuck she said, or there was going to be consequences.
I'm trying to think if she was ever in a movie where she had powers that perhaps we mistook as a fictional film that was really a documentary.
Well, I can actually say without shame that I really did like the movie Addicted to Love, where she and Matthew Broderick team up to fuck with each other's exes who have gotten together to get them to come back to them.
Uh-huh.
She had the powers of mischief.
The powers of mischief. So perhaps she like Loki, she has used this. She has just tricked this woodland elf that we call John Mellencamp.
Right. It's probably more elvish magic than, or elvish, whatever.
I don't know, but I'm sure that's something that some of our listeners know and will be sure to
less demonic, more playful.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, she's not a bad spirit.
She's just quirky.
She's quirky and was once adorable.
Was once very adorable, and now, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, she's it's not as bad as like Dolly Parton's plastic surgery, which is the most heartbreaking thing ever.
It is.
Because whenever she is, like, whenever you hear her, like, she's on Austin's City Limits or whatever, she's still amazing. Like,
she's
her
still
voice
got it,
is unbelievable. She's funny between songs. But you literally, you just have to look away. You have to just turn on the audio only. It's
unnerving. Well, anytime we go to, like, a Cracker Barrel on tour or something and see, you know, her new covers record or whatever, it just, I don't want to see the picture on the front because it bums me out so hard.
Also in that category, Steve Martin. Steve Martin's plastic surgery depresses me.
I have not seen Steve Martin in a minute.
If you see him, he looks different. Like, I saw that movie with him and Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep, but there's, like, the love triangle, like, the senior citizen
triangle. Oh, right.
And that's the first time I noticed it, but it's, like, around his eyes, he's had some work done, and it's getting more and more noticeable.
Is it that, like, that crank in the back of the head that's just kind of been given a quarter turn look?
No, he's not, like, overly, it's just weird. It's more like they lifted his cheeks or something. Like, it looks like they kind of put staples in the corners of his eyes that somehow are now lifting his cheeks up.
Okay, I'll have to go back and check that out.
So I don't know. Perhaps we'll work all of this plastic surgery talk into this episode's image for the cover. It'll just be plastic surgery disasters of the celebrities.
Or, you know, we should go to like Dave and Buster's or something and get a picture of what our baby would look like.
Is that a thing that they do at Dave and Buster's?
It's those, you know, you take like the picture of each of them and it morphs it into one horrifying creature.
It's how many tokens does that take?
I've actually been to a Dave and Buster's.
All right. Well, so that's a road trip. Maybe we'll do that. That'll be an episode, a remote episode.
We'll have a field trip.
All right. So you guys are writing a record about Indiana. You just got back from, not entirely about Indiana, but it's got some themes from Indiana.
There's some.
Like obesity and smoking. Are those two of the themes?
And I think we don't have a title, but I think the cover is just going to be an ashtray full of ranch dressing.
Excellent. So, of course, just a documentary photo from the Triple Deuce.
Exactly.
Which we will get into later, some of our shared history.
That is the crossroads of America.
That is the filthy, filthy crossroads. That's more of like the gutter drain of America.
Oh, man.
Was that house. We'll explain to listeners, we'll get back to that in a second, because I realize that not only do you probably have some fantastic tour stories from touring so much, you probably have some fantastic at-home stories from the several years that you lived in this giant party house.
The coming home from tour stories are probably just as good.
All right, so we'll get into that in a little bit. We'll get to a little bit of business. Did you bring your things that you're going to be doing this week and not doing this week?
Yes.
All right, should we, you want to jump right into that?
We could jump right into that.
Okay, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'm going to go first in case I stole one of yours.
Okay, that sounds good. So, for those of you who don't know, every episode we pick something that we're going to do. And then we pick something that we're not going to do. And so both of them are basically suggestions to you on how to plan your week ahead. So, Matt, what are you going to do this week?
I am going to go and do the game show thing at Jake's this week.
Okay, the Common Sense
live
booze-oriented game show.
I may be participating, I don't know yet, but I went this past week and had two halves of a hoot, and so I'm gonna go back.
All right. Is two halves of a hoot, is that a Texas saying? You're a Texas guy?
I don't know. It's just a thing.
It's just a thing that came out of your mouth.
Yeah, I think it's a, I don't know.
All right. I was on that game show last week. I was on the Late Show.
And you won it.
And I did win, because I know a lot of stupid shit, apparently.
Yeah. Which is why I think I probably do pretty well.
I think that you would. It's a tournament, so we may face each other in a future round.
It's like the Civil War.
It's exactly. I get to be Patrick Swayze, though. And you have to be the other guy, whoever is in the gray and the blue with him. You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't see that one.
Made for TV, probably before you were born. I forget that I'm a little bit older than you.
So. Only a little bit.
Well, I had a TV in my crib. That's how my parents raised me, honestly. Like, they were both long over-the-road truck drivers. They'd be gone. They just throw a bunch of food in the crib. And
well, here's a package of frozen burritos and a shortwave radio
and
whatever.
And a TV. And I turned out fine, obviously.
Totally.
So that's what you're going to be doing. For those of you that don't know about this, because it's a relatively new thing, it's every Wednesday at Jake's, and it is a live game show. I was actually impressed with how organized it is.
Yeah.
It's essentially like there's four contestants, and it's basically kind of like Jeopardy in the fact that there's different categories that are organized by theme. Mm-hmm. Like one of the categories that I had when I played was Blue Balls. And every question in that theme, every question in that category was about the Smurfs.
Okay.
So they have funny, misleading titles in the themes.
Well, and last week there was Caught in a Rad Bromance, and it was all about buddy cop movies.
Right.
And
that kind of stuff. So Josh and Chad Jason. Okay, Jason was also the creator of it. So they did a great job on it. It's every Wednesday at Jake's. They do two shows. There's an early show at 8 and a late show at 11. You should really only go to the late show because the early show competes with my comedy show that I run on Wednesday nights. I'm saying the late show is much better. That's my two cents. That's my two common sense right there.
There you go.
Well, it was a good time, and we wish you well. Now, what are you not going to do? If that's what you're doing.
Yeah. What I'm not going to do is fucking occupy Bloomington.
But I don't understand. You're currently occupying Bloomington right now. You're here.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to lowercase occupy.
Okay, all right.
But I'm not going to capital occupy Bloomington.
Now, why? I don't know what you're talking about. What is this occupy? Pie made out of octopus?
Octopi?
Octopi Bloomington. .org. Somebody make the page.
Well, to me, what it sounds like is a bunch of cause heads trying to.
Oh.
Hey, man, I didn't make that up.
It's the first time I've ever heard it.
It's from PCU.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, it's been a while since I've watched
Which is remarkably similar to living in this town in certain degrees.
All right. So, a bunch of cause heads. Please continue.
But I think it's a bunch of cause heads that are like, yeah, we could be angry too, and fucking woo, we'll do what those guys in New York are doing. It just seems kind of ridiculous. There's really not that much to bitch about here.
I agree. But what about the solidarity?
You know what? If you want to show solidarity to those dudes, I don't know, go there.
I agree with you. Actually, I completely agree with you.
I think the people who are doing it for real in New York have got a point, and, you know, we'll see what happens with that, but you're not going to accomplish anything here. I mean, if you want to show solidarity, do your part to, you know, not participate with any of the big, crazy, evil corporations that people are raging against or whatever, but clogging up the streets here, I mean, it's like we got to deal with sorority chicks and the frat dudes every Friday and Saturday night doing that for no reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right.
I think there's still things you can do, but you know.
Now,
what are you going to clog up in this town to make a difference?
You know, I'm devil's advocate here. I don't know, man. What do you think? Do you not think it's more important to make a sign and go hang out in basically a party environment with people that agree with you? For a few hours and walk around. Don't you think that that's more important than volunteering at the soup kitchen or at the homeless shelter or any of the many worthy not-for-profit agencies who could probably use your help for those 4 to 5 hours that you're dicking around with your making yourself feel better? I mean, don't you think dicking around and making yourself feel better is ultimately more important?
I think that there are a lot of people in this town that probably feel that way without realizing that's what they're doing.
When I tweet from the soup kitchen, it just bums everybody out.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what you're not doing.
Yeah.
I will be doing and not doing the exact same things that you're doing. Although I did pick two other things. This is just coincidental. I like your suggestions. I'm going to go with them. Thank you. I was unaware of both of those things. Clearly. And I will be doing that.
I think I'm going to change. I'm going to tweet from the soup kitchen. That's what
tweet
I'm going to
from the
do.
Soup kitchen, yeah.
I got a space phone now. I can do that.
There you go. Now, would you be like, well, like, they usually give me 2 pieces of bread. Is that what you're going to be tweeting? Or you're going to, oh, you're going to be actually helping. Okay, gotcha. All right. Yeah. All right. Here's the thing that I'll be doing. I'll be competing with the early show of the game show with my comedy show, It Still Bleeds, at the Comedy Attic.
And that is Wednesday as well.
It's Wednesday as well at 8 o'clock, and it's comedy and music, and it's new, and it's fun, and it's fresh, and you can come do that, and then you can go to Jake's, and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, I'm going to try and do both.
We could occupy Walnut Street for hilarity, yeah. For comedy. So there you go.
Way more noble.
Now, I have 2 things. I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to show off to people that I've got so much like organizational skills that I cannot do 2 things. But I'm not doing 2 things this week, which I know not everybody has the luxury of that. You know, they've got kids, they've got jobs.
Right.
But I'm in a position where I cannot do 2 things.
It's luxurious.
And these are the 2 things I'm not going to be doing. First of all, I'll not be going to see Brett Denon with Blind Pilot on October 11th at the Bluebird. And I don't know who Brett Denon is. I've seen his name around. I feel like he's like as good as the society can do now that Ryan Adams is not really playing music anymore. They're like, this is kind of, it's kind of Ryan Adams.
It's kind of, is it kind of like Blue Jeans and Girls Rock kind of thing?
I think it's sort of Ryan Adams-y, but I think it's like, he's like, if Ryan Adams is James Bond, he is clearly like the Timothy Dalton Ryan Adams.
Oh, okay.
Okay? You're like, you I'm know, you. Whereas in Ryan Adams is the Sean Connery Ryan Adams. This is getting really meta.
Right.
But I feel like that's what Brett Denon is. But I do know who Blind Pilot is because I opened for them once when I was opening for Langhorne Slim on tour in Chicago at Shuba's. And they're very nice people. Let me start out with that. Very nice. But essentially, they make the music, it's as if a computer program took all of the rootsy indie rock that gets into VW commercials and iTunes commercials and anything that goes out in the world to sell products. And they just somehow distilled that down into like a paste that then you can then cookie cutter, you know, songs out of. That's what Blind Pilot sounds like. They sound like...
Did those guys tour with Ha Ha Tonka recently?
Possibly. For some reason, they are kind of popular.
I may have seen them.
Actually, I know for the reason that they're kind of popular. They're popular in the same reason that, like, bread is popular. You know? Like, oh, it's just, like, it's there.
I need something to put the sandwich stuff inside of.
Exactly. Like, we gotta have something bland to make the other bands on the bill actually pop, like, the pastrami meat that they are.
Gotcha.
And that's what Blind Pilot is. They're just, like, this...
A pastrami enhancer.
Yeah. Like, you can't even be mad at them. You can't even be mad. It's just so... They had one song where there's a girl who's a multi-instrumentalist in it, sang on that tour, and it was amazing because she's not like, she just like had like some soul. She had some like, kind of like something really to say. It was dark. It was an interesting song. And I'm willing to bet that that song has been cut from the set list now. Okay. I'm willing to bet it's just like the dreamy fucking bohemian guy, you know, just getting up there and doing like the, oh, what? What if we combined the Decemberists with a lot of like the ballads of the Eagles? Like, what if we did that? That's as close as I can get. But anyway, no, I'm not going to be going to that show.
Okay.
And then the other thing.
I don't want to go to that either.
Yeah, I guess this would be on my fence. I'm on the fence. Maybe, I don't know. I really just wanted to talk about this because I was so amazed that it's happening. Apparently, this Saturday, there is going to be a. It's a Saturday night dance party. Fun, right? Who doesn't like that? Dance party?
Well,
right? Gets better. There's a cruise-in, classic car cruise-in, right? That's cool.
Okay.
Got some hot rod cars to look at.
You but
got
where's,
some
dance, where's this happening?
Oh, it's happening at Show Me's. Show Me's on the west side. The White Trash Hooters is having a Saturday night dance party.
Totally going.
Okay. Well, all right. I was on the fence, but you're definitely going.
If anyone knows where we can score some acid, please call.
It is free.
We will need you to drive as well.
Yes, it is free. And it runs from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. That's 6 hours of dancing and classic cars. And, of course, the fine ladies of Show Me's.
I haven't been, so I don't know what kind of caliber of lady are we dealing with here.
I have not been either. I've only heard reports because they have two show me's in Evansville, Indiana.
I mean,
some friends.
Is it trying to be a Hooters?
It's they don't have the pretensions of being a Hooters. They don't want to. They know that you don't always want to get dressed up to go out and eat wings and look at titties. Sometimes you just got to come straight from working at the chicken coop, you know?
Okay.
Like, it's a way trashier version of Hooters, which is the weirdest sentence you can actually say in the English language.
Yeah, when you say it out loud,
but it's true.
I mean, did they try and do the whole babe waitress thing?
Oh, yeah, no, they do a variation on it called the skank waitress. Where basically they're wearing tube tops.
Do they actually call it that? Or is this just... is this your name for it?
I think this is my name for it.
Okay.
I got kind of obsessed when it opened in Bloomington. Because I had a job at the time and my coworker mentioned it. Because he said there were three girls that he graduated from high school who are all working at Shomi's. Now, I should point out that he went to high school in Bedford, Indiana. Okay? So this is this is big time for these girls. All
right? Right.
They've moved up in the world. They're now waitressing at Shomi's. And so he would send me links from the website because they have the girls on the website or whatever. And it really is just, it's tube tops and banana hammocks. I guess maybe ham canoe hammocks. But they're having a dance party this Saturday. You're going.
I'm thinking about it. If only I can, I don't have a thing to wear though.
Are you going to go as you or would you create an alias to go to this thing?
Oh, you know what? Maybe it's time to revisit my Kenny Powers Halloween costume.
I think you would fit in very well there if you were to do that. And all right.
Woof.
You know, I just realized, god damn it. Hold on. I had the mic setting on the wrong setting. So that part of the show will be a little bit quieter. It'll still be fine.
Fix it in post.
Yeah, actually, it's unable to be fixed in post. But, no, that's okay. Like I said, working it out, we're getting the kinks worked out. We're back. People will listen.
You know what? I cannot help but
put your headphones on.
I cannot help but read the misconnections on Craigslist because it's the funniest shit ever.
Oh, yes. You've pulled up the Show Me's website.
It's AC/DC?
I know.
Dude, I'm totally... Are you shitting me? I'm totally fucking going to this.
That is the background music for the Show Me's website.
Ooh, gallery. But I see a lot of misconnections from Show Me's, so I'm hoping that those folks have been able to make the connection.
Well, I had a friend tell me about his roommate. His roommate got a DUI, and his roommate got the saddest DUI in the world. It was from driving home from Show Me's, where he goes and drinks by himself after work. Apparently every night.
This is in Evansville or here?
No, this is here. So, because they've hidden the Show Me's away over on the west side. It's over by Walmart. I know that's a shocker. You know, it's over by Steak and Shake.
Okay.
Fine establishment. I don't know. I'm very upset for the Steak and Shake people. I know they don't like that.
Is there a feud?
I would hope so. I would hope so there would be.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're pulling up the gallery of waitresses. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know exactly what we're dealing with
here. If Hooters is Playboy, then Show Me's is Beaver Hunt. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
It's looking pretty amateur hour.
Yeah. But you haven't seen them dance yet.
That's
it's
true.
It's going to be a dance party. They don't dance at Hooters that I'm aware of. I don't know. Do they? They dance at Hooters? Is there like a little Hooters cage?
Oh, dude. This totally just looks like student loan repayment.
Yes. Yes, it... Oh, my God. It's even like... Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while. It is ridiculous. They're basically wearing... Their shorts are maybe 4 inches tall in height. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes a cool butt and all that, but this...
They're basically wearing a belt, a wide belt, as their shorts. Yeah. Just go to the Show Me's website.
Go to the Show Me's website, but it basically looks like an American Apparel ad for people that bang their sisters.
All right. That's an excellent analogy.
And there's tribal framing.
Sure,
on the website. So.
Oh, but dude, I mean, I know it's totally sweet, but don't tell anybody. It's free. It's free with the web design. The tribal. It's one of the presets.
Clip art, tramp stamp tribal.
Yeah. So, all right. So we've talked about the things that we're going to do, things we're not going to do. We've given
all Matt... All bets are off now.
We've given Matt an assignment.
I don't know what I'm not going to do there.
Exactly. All right.
Survive. That's
what I'm gonna... You survive. That's always the key, is to survive. All right. So very good. We've gone through that. Now, let's talk about some road stories. A lot of pranks. Not a lot of pranks, but you guys have been known to prank.
We enjoy the occasional shenanigan.
You have bedazzled someone's hair straightener.
We have done that.
Once. A horrible, horrible band called This Providence.
Nice enough kids.
The bassist was nice. The rest of them were douchebags.
They just needed a little attitude readjustment.
Yes. And instead you just made them cry.
Yeah.
Bedazzled their hair straighteners while they were on stage. But there's one prank that you and I, when we were on the road together, pulled on the rest of your bandmates.
Right.
And do you want to start this story? I don't think we've ever told this story. I don't think I've ever mentioned this as a road story.
I don't think we have.
So, well, I know we have it because you've never been on the show.
Right.
But I'm talking about the Royal We.
The Royal We. I don't think it's been out there before.
All right. Well, then get us started, please.
Okay. So it was probably 2006.
Sounds about right.
And you were out tour managing us, and we were out with Russian Circles and Langhorne Slim. And I was experiencing incredible pain in my foot. So we found a med stop or whatever and went and checked it out. And turns out that I had essentially a gout flare-up. And to this day, I still haven't been fully diagnosed as having, like, gout. I've been tested and stuff, and it's like, but I have got, like, flare-ups from time to time, and it's usually due to dehydration, due to drinking a lot and not rehydrating.
Right.
Shit crystallizes in your big toe joint, and it fucking sucks.
Yeah. So let's just clarify one quick thing. We had gotten to, it was in St. Louis or Columbia? It was in Columbia, Missouri.
We were playing at Mojo's.
Mojo's in Columbia, Missouri. Because of the schedule, we got to the club, loaded everything in. You'd been having this terrible pain for a couple of days. You're a trooper. You're not a pussy. Like, you really, like, it had been maybe a week where you were hobbling and, like, you're a tough guy.
It was time to go.
You're a tough guy. And so we set up. We do the sound check. You're in pain during the sound check. And then you and I go by ourselves.
Right.
And we leave, like, the band to, like, set up the merch and kind of, like, just, and we, you know, we'll be back before the show.
Yeah.
So it's just you and I at this place. Nobody knows what's going on.
Nobody knows what's up except for us.
The rest of your band knows that you're a tough guy, so they know it's serious. They know something is bad.
Yeah.
So you get diagnosed with having gout-like flare-ups. They give you a prescription.
Right. We go pick up said prescription and some dinner, and we think, what are we going to tell the gang? We got to tell them something funny.
Yeah.
So what we came up with was, because earlier that, like, you know, like the week before, we had been partying at a hotel pool, barefoot and wasted and stuff. So
I think it was actually just a hotel parking lot, wasn't it?
No, there was a pool involved, I think.
Maybe a pool of vomit. It was just a filthy parking lot.
It's a pool of something, but
it was just a filthy parking lot. And it was a hotel that Langhorne and Rush Circles were also staying at, the same hotel. It was like a rare night where we all stayed at the same hotel.
We had like a parking lot party.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
So we come up with, all right, let's tell them that I must have
stepped. Oh, and you were barefoot, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I was
and
barefoot.
So you're barefoot in this filthy hotel parking
lot. Filthy parking lot. I must have stepped on a piece of dirty glass, and it got infected, and I've got the beginnings of gangrene. That's what we agreed to tell everybody.
Right.
And so, but we, okay.
We giggle a lot.
We giggle a lot. We decide that's what we're going to tell them, but we're going to say that they doped me up for now. Get through the show on the way out of town, because we had to drive that night. They're going to be expecting us at the emergency room at the actual hospital. They're going to call ahead and have, you know, have the thing ready for us. They just want to run some more tests, and if anything needs to get handled, it's going to get handled then.
Right.
So that's what we come up with.
Right, and we tell them, and so then they're very concerned, and so they ask. So we go back to the club.
The best part was the reveal.
The reveal, yeah. Because we walk into the club, and we're both, like, very good at being stone-faced. Like, and I'm generally not good at that.
Yeah, but we are.
And so we walk in.
We are stern.
We're stern. And we walk straight to the bar, and I put down a 20, and I buy Matt and I both a shot. And so then they kind
of look
timidly,
at each other like ugh.
Yeah, we look at each other like, oh, dude. And so very timidly, like little bunny rabbits, the band kind of comes up. It's like, hey.
They were so timid. It was cute.
What's going on? And so we tell them this. And then at this point, I embellish it by saying, when I think Adam asks, like, oh, so like, what's the deal? Like, what do they got to do? And I said, well, it depends on how far the gangrene has spread. Hopefully they can just treat it. But there is a small chance that they're going to have to amputate the toe. And so then, and we sell it. Like, they actually believe it.
We sold the shit out of it. I couldn't believe we didn't break down.
And so they're funny about it on stage. Like, Adam, you and Adam are both making, like, Big Lebowski jokes about, you know, if you need a toe.
Yeah, can get one. I got one for you.
So you guys play the show. We load everything out. We get in the van. I'm driving, and I get on the highway. I just drive to. I'm driving in the next city, and about 20 minutes.
You pulled over at a liquor store though.
Oh, I did. I thought I did that before, but yeah, I pulled over at a liquor store.
On the way to the hospital, end quote.
Yeah, and so I just buy a bottle of whiskey or whatever.
You bought a bottle of whiskey, turned around, opened it, and handed it back, and you're like, gangrene? Seriously?
Yes, exactly. But I was driving when it happened.
Yeah.
Because I was driving for a while after the liquor store, and then Sarah like leans forward and is like, hey, so where's the hospital? Because I'm clearly out of Columbia, Missouri at this point. I'm like on the interstate.
That's right.
And that's when I pull out the whiskey, and I was like, oh, gangrene? Really, guys? You believe that? And Sarah proceeds to just punch me in the head several times.
Yeah.
While I'm driving.
And everybody loved it except for Alex, who, not being...
Hard to believe.
Yeah, right? Starts calling everybody in his that is medically trained in his family and doesn't tell any of us that we're doing it. So he's like actually pissed at us.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's called all of his... Apparently every single member of his family is a medical doctor.
Right.
And he'd been doing that without telling him this, like, I guess to get a second opinion on gangrene or something or... Yeah, so he's mad because he had called his dad or his uncle or whatever like that.
It's like, dude, it's fine. We didn't need you to do that, but yeah. he just took it upon himself to do it, which, I mean, granted, I guess he was trying to be nice, but...
Yeah.
But usually it's like, hey, do you want me to call somebody for you? I have people.
Yeah. No, so yeah, so that's the big gangrene prank.
And as far as I know, Langhorne and Russian circles still believe that that's true.
Langhorne knows it's not true because when I toured with them for probably about 8 or 9 months...
Okay,
before it came out, but because like I didn't even bring it up, they brought it up one time.
People still come up to me in Colombia and ask if you know
how's the foot.
Yeah,
yeah. So do you tell them that you lost a toe?
I tell them that we caught it.
You caught it.
We caught it. We caught it in time.
There you go. I like that. You don't string them on too much, just enough.
Well, I mean, if they're really excited about it, like, hey, I totally saw you that night that you had gangrene. Remember that? It was fucking crazy. Woo! And I'm like, yep, still here. Ten fingers, 10 toes.
Well, on behalf of your recovery, I want you to say left or right to me because it's time for our half show bump.
Right.
You, my friend, get to do a shot of original Peachtree Schnapps in a little tiny airplane bottle. I will be downing the Malibu Caribbean rum with coconut liqueur.
Oh, well.
This is just to change up the palate a little bit.
You spoil me.
How do you... Because the ice house has been... It's been tasting pretty good, right?
It's not bad, but I'm feeling like we're going to have to get through these bad boys before they get warm, or it's going to be
bad news.
Probably...
Well, this will probably not help. Should we just shoot them, or should we pour them into the ice house and see how that works?
Ooh, let's not do
no?
that.
No? All right.
I say let's just man up.
All right.
As manly as you can be.
Here's our little plastic bottles.
Clink. Pinkies out.
That... is actually very delightful.
You know what? It was playful. It was playful and nice.
I wouldn't want to drink a lot of it, but a little bit of Malibu Caribbean rum. Who knew?
The peach tree is actually, it's got kind of a Jolly Rancher sort of finish to it.
All right, now let's see what the ice house tastes in comparison. Wow, back to that first taste again.
It's like tasting it all again for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Renewal. Mm. It's about renewal. That's what this show is about. Renewal of the soul.
It's an oral renaissance.
Renewal of the toe. But it's been a long time since you and I have toured together. Do you have any other, like, is there any other kind of hijinks that have occurred? Any, like, any
prank, like pranky stuff?
Pranky stuff, yeah. We'll stick on the pranky thing.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's the usual bed taco sort of stuff, but I'm usually a victim of that.
You are.
Sorry, I party. Fuck you guys. I'm trying to... We, prank-wise, when we were out with Tonka, Haha Tonka, last year, it was only a couple of days into the tour, and we passed each other on the highway, and the guys, they mooned us from their van. So we had James Dean, who was tour managing us. Or no. Who was it? Was Will with us?
Ben?
No, Ben was with us.
Ben Bussell, friend of the show.
Or no, Colorado Ben was doing that first part. Right.
I don't know Colorado Ben. Fuck him.
He went up and said, hey, guys, listen, that really offended Sarah.
That's awesome.
Because they beat us to the show in St. Louis, and they were all hanging out like shirtless, like jumping rope and lifting weights and stuff in the parking lot. So our team went up and said, hey, listen, that really, I don't know what to do, but like she was kind of offended. And those guys are like the sweetest dudes in the world. And so, like, they're like, put their shirts back on and kind of cleaned their hair up a little bit and went over and very earnestly apologized and like, we're so, so sorry. Please don't kick us off the tour. And like, I can't remember how long it was before we just cracked and were like, are you kidding me? Do you know what it takes to offend that girl? Yeah.
So did Sarah know that he was going to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because it could have been a two-way kind of thing there. If he had not told anybody, he'd just gone and done that.
I think it might have even been her idea. It's like, blame it on me. Like, tell him that I was offended. Who knows how these things
Speaking of, like, sort of in that wheelhouse, I don't think I've ever told this story either. This is so weird. You're just reminding me of, like, the good old days. That same tour that we did the gangrene prank.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when when Langhorne Slim, they all did a fuck ton of, like, shrooms after the show. It was in Wichita at the Electric Snake. And then we all went to, like, an all-night burrito place. And we're inside eating our burritos. And they're outside dancing on top of their car to, like, Air Supply. And just, like, doing interpretive dance. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah, okay. Because then, of course, they crashed and slept and overslept. And then I think they missed the next show. I called them about an hour before doors. Like, hey, where are you guys at? And they were still, like, 5 hours away.
Where were we the next day? I remember them being really...
Because they had to sleep for, like, 14 hours because they had done so much. They were, like, just out of their minds. And it was, like, one of those things, like, how are they not getting arrested right now? Like, how is no one has called this in that these three dudes are dancing on top of a Toyota Corolla at 3 a.m. in Wichita, clearly out of their minds? Good times. Good times, everybody. That's what we're talking about.
Yep. Go on tour. It's great.
It's pretty good. Unlike the time that when I was tour managing Langhorne Slim and we all did a bunch of shrooms and Molly at this hippie festival that they had somehow gotten booked on, and I became a monster. It was awesome.
Let's do some shrooms, man.
Let's do some shrooms. Let's do an episode on shrooms. Like, talk about how big the microphone is. That microphone's huge, dude.
It's like, it knows.
It's huge. It knows. It knows. It's looking right at me with its red eye.
I went to the vid on shrooms one time.
How was that? And well, what era of the vid?
This was 2008.
For those of you that are not locals that listen to this podcast, which happens, the vid is the video saloon. It was kind of like the everyman's bar. It was the bar that, it had two kind of purposes. It was sort of like the indie bar. And then it was also the after bar that everyone came into when the other bars closed down.
Yeah.
So it was just like this very cool, eclectic mix. It slowly changed as the owner kind of handed over control to his sons. They kind of turned it into more of like a mainstream sort of sports bar, frat bar kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this is the first era, right?
Or is this the second era? Okay. This was...
So it's still like a friendly, inviting place for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was still like my go-to.
Right.
But I had just gone through a really shitty breakup with a girl, and my roommate at the time said, I'm going to do something nice for you. And like 2 days later, she's like, I got us shrooms. Let's take the shit out of these. And we went, yes. She was going to a show that night. I just wanted to sit in my living room and just like be happy and not think about this breakup. And another roommate and his girlfriend at the time were like, we're going to be back in 2 hours and we're going to make you come out with us. And I said, please do, because if you don't, I'm just going to sit here the whole time. And they came back in 2 hours, and like while they were gone, my living room was very weird and it was fun. I had a great time, but most of the really hard visual stuff was done. But by the time James and Kate came and picked me up to go to the vid, everything was still spatially weird. You know, if you've done shrooms, you know what I'm talking about. But it seemed like forever to get up that staircase. I'm sure it took 12 seconds.
It's an upscale bar.
But it felt like forever. But I remember making a deal to myself before I went in there. Because the door guy, Mike Shiflett, was prone to combing his luxurious mane in a little mirror in the hallway right there and kind of flipping it around like a horsetail. I made a deal with myself that as long as I didn't see that happen, I was going to make it out alive.
Right.
And I live to tell the tale. So
there you go. All right.
But Vid's kind of wild on shrooms, man.
I would imagine so. We should do some shrooms. That sounds like a great idea.
It's so much fun.
It is. Kids, if you're listening to this, do some shrooms. Listen to the podcast. Let us know what it meant to you. Let us know what universal truths that you were revealed to you by our voices while on shrooms.
Yes.
And email us at gmail.com. All right. You know, the only time I got kicked out of the video saloon was when my friend Tim was down visiting and got shit-faced and was throwing up copious amounts of seafood in the sink. He was in the men's room, and he was like, you know, someone was in the toilet or whatever, so he's just puking into the sink. But it was clear, like, there was still, like undigested shrimp. I mean, it was just like...
What'd you guys go to Red Lobster?
Yeah, I guess he did before. But yeah, it looked like you took, like, the busboy scrapings from Red Lobster and just threw it in the sink at the pit. And he was so nice about it. He was just like, you got to get your friend out of here. Like, the two of you got to get out of here. I'm like,
who kicked
understood. Shiflet. Yeah.
Shiflet.
Yeah. So, anyway, good times.
I've seen some horrible things in that sink.
Yes, exactly. So that,
oh, man.
Apparently it was crossing the line right there.
So there it is.
There okay. It is. All right. So we talked briefly about the Triple Deuce, which was a house that you lived in. It was kind of a halfway house for a lot of musicians, a lot of kind of like, cool people, basically. Artists, people that were not interested in the career path. Seriously, you know, they were more interested in living life and having fun. Because not everybody that was a musician, that lived there was a musician, but it's people that, you know...
Well, it was just cheap, like, and you could walk to the bars and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. It was a post-college sort of extending college life sort of environment. And for me, a post-divorce transition place.
Yeah, you did your time.
I did my time at the Triple Deuce. Now, this, to my knowledge, has never been discussed publicly, but since the Triple Deuce is no more, it has been completely gutted, renovated. It's now rented out to, like, a nice family or whatever, probably.
Well, they cleaned it up and built some stuff. They didn't tear it down and start over, which is the one thing that really needed to happen.
Yeah, it was a big sprawling kind of, like, it was like a mansion of disrepair and of filth from there being just a constant rotating cast of characters that live there.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that you guys started that was not public knowledge to all the people that came and partied at the house, and that was the door that led down to the cellar.
Ah, yes.
The inside, if you opened the door to the cellar, which was kind of like a door you normally wouldn't go to anyway, because it was kind of in the hallway, it just looked like a closet door.
And when there was no reason to go downstairs.
There was no reason to go down there, and it was just like a root cellar. But on the inside of that door was, you can explain.
It was the dating wall of shame, where once you had moved into the house, if you had any artifacts of previous relationships or hookups or whatever, you could staple them to the inside of that door as just sort of a way to, well, you know, exercise your past demons and also just kind of have a fun reminder and, you know, a conversation piece. If somebody decides that they want to add to it, you can get together and do that.
Right. And there were male and female roommates throughout the... And so on the inside of that wall, there were panties. I think there were condoms, used condoms stapled at one point.
No, it was never that... No.
I feel like Sally stapled a used condom up there at one time.
I never saw it.
Okay. I stapled my divorce papers, a copy of my divorce papers up there
when I
lived there.
There were panties and...
Like notes.
Notes.
And photos.
I think there were some printed out emails at one point.
Okay.
Just that kind of stuff. But it was just sort of a, you know...
But it was not public. It was great about it. It was like no one... You had to live in the house and know about it.
To gain access to it. You had to be there. Yeah.
And so anything like that at the... I mean, you're in a happy relationship now, but did you just carry that trend forward anywhere that you went?
No, I let it die with the house.
Okay. Excellent. All right. And so you don't have to say the name, but what are some of the artifacts that you put on that wall, personally?
Definitely some photos. Nothing gross, but... just photos that I had of a girl that I used to date that was kind of cuckoo pants. There might have been some drawers. Yeah.
Some full-on drawers.
Yeah.
All right.
Sally put a lot of stuff up there. I think she printed out, like, pages and pages of emails and had lots of pictures and stuff.
Yeah. She really embraced it.
She had a good time with it.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
She was very into documenting all that stuff.
Well, and Sally is a regular listener of the podcast, so anything you want to say to Sally?
Hi, Sally.
She owes you any money? You want to bring that up?
I don't think she has any money, but call a brother.
Do you owe her money?
No.
All right. I'm just asking. It can go both ways, my friend. Excellent. So there we are. Now we did talk about how the house was a bit of a party house, and in and of itself, almost like a tour. It was its own tour
of duty.
Duty, or it was like its own tour stop. Apparently, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have like one story of chaos? What's the most? What's the craziest? Because I have one for the house, and it's before I even lived there. But just going over to the house, what's the craziest story that you can think of from the house?
Well, I mean, not even getting into the gross neglect of the landlords and the fact that we should all seriously be dead for having lived there. There was a lot of crazy stuff that happened that I wasn't there to take part in because we were gone. But apparently there was a stripper pole in the living room for a bachelor party, which of course happened the day after we left for tour.
Of course, yeah. And whose bachelor party was that?
That was James Swihart's bachelor party.
Oh, okay,
party.
All right.
So apparently there's some strippers who are willing to get naked and rub all over that house.
That's which now working at Shomies.
Or no longer with us. I don't know, man. There were some wild ass parties. There was that the end of tour party with the Life and Times and Will Whitmore.
Where was the wrestling party, if I recall correct? A lot of wrestling happened at that
party. A lot of wrestling, roughhousing. That was the night the pants became the new cape.
Explain that for the listeners. What is?
Well, it started with no shirts or the new shirts, so everybody started taking their shirts off, and we decided that wasn't naked enough. So then we all took off our pants and refastened the belts and put the belts around our neck and made pants the new cape. So there was a lot of back slapping.
No pants is the new cape. Also, a little bit no pants is the autoerotic asphyxiation. With kind the belt of. Around the neck, a little bit.
Well, if we had put on some NXS, it probably would have taken a different
turn.
Sure,
sure. A lot of back slapping.
A lot of back slapping.
Wasn't the slap fight between Melissa and Will? Was that night?
I believe that was that night. Yeah. Ugh, just a lot of wild shit. Just
now, is that one of the nights that Turlo went to the emergency room for wrestling, right?
No, Turlo went to the emergency room for wrestling after a whiskey night.
I thought he went a couple times.
I think he went to the emergency room
maybe not,
2 years
like,
in a row.
Yeah, what? 2 years in a row for his back, and I think they were both for his back, right? But one was like a day or two later. It doesn't matter.
I think he hit his head 1 year, and it was his back the year before.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
He used to get hurt in my house a lot.
We'll have him on the show. We'll
maybe,
get
maybe we can clear
here's,
the air.
Here's the wild story of the house that is dearest to my heart, even more so than when I lived there. Before I moved in there, when I was going through my divorce and still allowed to live in my own house at that point, so it was early. It was early in the divorce.
Yeah.
And I went, I got a call. It was Martin Luther King Day, and I'm having lunch at maybe 12:30 with my friend Pat Hawkins. And we get a call from a couple people like, why aren't you guys over here? We're having a Martin Luther King party day.
And we got back that night.
Okay.
It was already done. So I missed this one too.
So we're like, okay, we'll be over there after we have our nice breakfast. And walk into utter batshit insanity at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
I totally believe that.
So apparently what has happened at this point is a bunch of white middle class kids have decided to celebrate the memory of Martin Luther King by drinking 40s, watching Boys in the Hood and other such films, listening to crunk rap, and just getting insane. Fast forward, we try to catch up, which we do very quickly. We catch up very quickly.
Good.
And I decide to turn the day into tackle day, where I'm doing this thing that I think is adorable called the slow motion tackle. Where I'd walk up to somebody and be talking to them for about 20 seconds, and then I just wrap my arms around them and go dead and just kind of slowly drag them to the ground in a slow motion tackle.
That's awesome.
Like, this is awesome, right? This is funny to me.
How upset could you possibly be?
I know. It was very nice. I also did a flying crotch tackle to my buddy Nathan, who was sitting in... Remember, there was a wobbly kind of armchair for a long time? He was sitting in that, and I knew it was wobbly. He didn't know it, because he's not a regular guy at the house.
Right.
So I just ran across the room at him, and jumped and hit his face on my crotch, and took him over backwards.
Took him over.
And then that escalated to then my buddy Pat Hawkins, who I'd been having a lovely lunch with just a few hours previous to this. Mm-hmm. Out of the corner of my eye, I'm standing in the kitchen talking to someone. Out of the corner of my eye, at the last minute, I see something running at me at full speed. And it's Pat, and he has tackled me at full speed. Now, for those that listen to the podcast that don't know me, I kind of have like a, I've got like a hillbilly teeth. I've got kind of like a janked up mouth, you know? And so when he hits me, like immediately, like my fucking both lips split because they hit my fucking snaggletooths, right? And so just a giant glob of blood goes all over the kitchen wall.
You're the blood on the kitchen
wall. I'm the blood on the kitchen wall, yeah. Okay. And so, and it was at that point, like, and I get up laughing, think it's hilarious, and I drink some more. But it was at that point, I was like, I think I'll be going home now. My trip home, which was maybe like 5 blocks away, which I walked, I only remember one portion of that walk home, which is I'm picking up a for sale sign out of someone's yard, carrying it 3 houses down and putting it in front of their yard. Like very, you know, confidently, just very like, this is.
That's where that goes.
Oh, sorry, made a mistake. It wasn't supposed to be at 5:13, it's supposed to be at 5:17. There we go. And then my sister Kelly was living at the house with me at the time, and I then wake up on the kitchen floor with my dog sort of sniffing me and Kelly laughing hysterically at me. And I'm like, I was with the triple deuce. It's fucking 5:30 in the afternoon at this point. I've already blacked out of my, you know, like made it home blackout style, passed out on my kitchen floor, blacked out, been roused. Like, hey, you should probably go throw up or else you're going to die of alcohol
poisoning.
Simpsons
are on in 20.
Exactly. So yeah, that's my that's how I sum up the triple deuce. Like that's what
there was
house
a lot
was
of
like.
That. Yeah.
Right.
And Jeremy got a great song out of it.
Jeremy got a great song because that was also the night or the day. I guess it was all day stuff where Rob Ross threw him into the door jam, and gave him a huge scar on his back, and he met Sybil that night or started dating
Sybil.
Yeah. So and now she's married to someone else and has a baby. So that's how life works.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, you get a song out of it, though. That's all right.
It takes. That's what it takes.
That's what it takes.
No art without pain, right?
Exactly. So we're coming up to the end of the show. We both have a little bit of ice house, a little lukewarm love now. I almost preferred cold love to lukewarm love.
At least you've made a decision, you know?
Mm-hmm. One way or the other. Now, we were going to call Nick, but Nick is actually going to be back next week because he's going out on the road with you guys, right? He's doing a little work for you as TMing or... Do you know this yet? Yeah, okay. He is. Surprise, Nick is going to be working with you guys.
Okay, cool.
So he's going to be coming back next week.
That'll
so
tell me shit.
Do an episode. We have a segment on the show called Around the World in 80 Lays, which is Nick's attempt to sleep with someone from... We're starting easy, someone from every continent...
Is that how you're starting?
I'm a little drunk. From someone from every continent. And then it's going to break down and go from every country there and then every region of every country.
Wow.
It's a life quest, essentially.
Wow, that's ambitious.
I know. Well, he gets points for every stage of it.
Is he trying to do every state in the continental U.S.?
I think that's probably maybe the next stage. But we're going to call Nick right now. And see where he is.
I don't know if he's got the charisma to pull that off.
Well, you'd be surprised. He's been doing pretty well since. Now, I should also point out that the reason that he's doing this is because this was his dad, Mark Cross. This is his wish to live vicariously through Nick.
To vicariously...
Vicariously bone a lot of chicks of different...
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Nick. It's Matt and Matt from Matt and Matt's Infinite Shit List. You've been replaced. So we're calling you, and we're right at the very end of the show, but we're calling to check in on how Around the World in 80 Lays is going.
Well, now that I'm living in the hellhole that is Fort Wayne, it's not really going all that well.
Now, didn't you tell me that Fort Wayne has a large Ethiopian population?
No. There's a lot of Laotians.
Laotians.
Okay.
Okay, and yeah. So where are you on that?
I don't know any.
You can't spell Laotian without Lay, buddy.
We're an insulated community.
We have to infiltrate it, or
exactly like maybe they're all going to church. Generally, when there's a large immigrant population in the Midwest, they're there because of a church has brought them. You should find out there's a Laotian Christian church you can go to.
Oh, well, I'm big in church, you know.
Well, I mean...
I love to go to church.
Just, you know, I know that you've never done this with any other woman, but just fake it, dude. Just fake the interest. All right. Well, I wanted. So you. No new advancements. So your last advancement was that you'd had sex with another half Latino, giving you a full Latino.
Yeah.
So you now have accomplished.
I did go on a date with an African American lady.
Do your parents know this? I mean, I know your dad's behind. I know your dad's into it.
Do they know this?
Yeah, I know your dad's into it. But what about mom?
But I didn't really tell them about it.
Okay. So. Well, there you go. So what went wrong on the date with the African American lady? Okay.
So I guess there's progress in that endeavor, I suppose.
Progress in that endeavor. Okay.
So there's maybe some yes. light on the horizon.
And you've never been with a black girl before, right?
Right. So this would be.
So this is an entire continent.
In another shade of the rainbow. If I couldn't seal the deal there.
Exactly. So Matt, do you have any Matt? You've had sex with black women before, right?
I have.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions for Nick on how he might seal the deal, like some tactics, some techniques, conversation starters?
No, you just kind of got to let it happen organically.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's not a set of rules.
What did you guys drink today? I'm curious.
We had a 32 each of Ice House.
Okay.
And then we each did like a little airplane bottle shot. I did Malibu rum.
And I had Peachtree.
Peachtree, Peach Schnapps. So that's what we
nice.
Did there.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I burp, there's kind of like a cobbler meets vomit sort of taste. It's pretty, it's not bad, I gotta say. You could do a lot worse.
All right, well, Nick.
It's a classic mix with the Ice House.
Yes, exactly. I've been watching a lot of Food Network, and they've been teaching me about how you complement flavors. And they both seem like naturals. So, all right, well, Godspeed. So when's the next date with this young African-American lady? You do. When was the last date?
It was a week before last.
And what did you do?
What's that?
What did you do for the date?
We just went out. We got some food. Yeah, you know, nothing too ridiculous.
What kind of food did you eat?
Mexican food, actually.
Ah, okay.
All right.
And that was it? Just dinner? You didn't do anything like no movie, no show, nothing? What movie did you go see?
Ruin Saw Drive.
I heard good things.
I was going to guess The Help, but okay.
The Help? Well, because you're racist?
Am I racist? I'm just saying it was the number one movie for a long time, my friends.
No, not really.
You're right. That was like a play. I was trying to get you to be racist, and I was racist. I'm out of practice. You need to come.
You need to come. I am sober, so it'll be harder for you to drag any racism out of me.
But once that changes, boy howdy.
Exactly, but once you get that first drink in you, all right.
I was actually going to see what she was up to this weekend.
All right.
Well, we'll good see. Luck, man.
Yeah, good luck. Do it for your dad, for Mark Cross.
And America.
I will.
The vicarious life of Mark Cross.
I'll tape a picture of him up on the wall.
Can you actually, instead, can you just, like, print out, like, a photo of his face and wear it like a mask?
Yeah, actually, that sounds like a good idea.
You know, right.
I'm sure she'll be into it.
That's exactly how you score with African-American ladies, by the way. I forgot. That's what it took. I had to put on a mask of your dad's face.
All right. Well, I wanted to have you on the line. We're gonna close it out, but we're gonna ask Matt here, Mr. Armstrong, about his sexual rainbow. The different ladies, the different shades of vagina that you have experienced.
Good. I look forward to hearing about that. And we're going to do an episode next week when I come down.
Yeah. And I think we might have to have Matt back for that one as well.
We might as well.
Yeah, because you guys are getting ready to go out on the road together. I might develop some questions, some things that we need to address before the two of you leave
it
together.
It could unite or divide us, but there's only one. Yeah.
Which exactly. All right. So Matt, take us out with your sexual rainbow.
Let's see, I've done African American, and I've done Latina. That's it. And, you know, yeah. White girls.
White girls, right, right. They don't count. I mean, we all agree. Exactly. We all agree they do not count.
Yeah, white girls don't count.
No, they don't. They don't at all.
There's no white in the rainbow, my friend.
But yeah, you know, no
Asians.
No Asians.
Inuit?
You got them all.
Inuit? Yes, I took all of them. That's why.
No Inuit.
Pacific Islanders?
No.
No? No Samoans? No. Not even the Girl Scout cookies? You never fucked a Samoa from the Girl Scouts?
If I did, I was completely blacked out.
You were on shrooms?
Yeah, I was shroomed out of my mind. It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, we also decided we're going to do shrooms for the next episode next week. You down, Nick?
We are?
Yeah, instead of drinking, we're going to do shrooms.
That sounds like a great idea.
All right. So that's
going to be a really long episode.
It's going to be a long episode. It's going to be the first 8-hour episode. All right, so... Yeah, I'm going to clean everything off.
You're going to buy a new laptop.
And I'm going to have to buy a new laptop afterwards anyway.
Completely unlistenable.
I know.
By anybody. Like, no one will be able to listen to that. It's just going to be giggling and saying weird, random shit for hours.
Nope, it's going to be great.
It's going to be the best.
What about this? What about if I don't do shrooms, you guys do shrooms, and I just interview you? So I can kind of keep us on track, and then I just listen to the answers that you guys give while on shrooms. How about that? Because that'll give the show at least some structure.
I don't think I'm going to do shrooms. I feel like I'm too old for that now.
So, no Coke? Way, you want to do some Coke? The shortest episode ever? Hey, man, I think it's a really good idea. So, I fucked up that girl.
Done.
Yeah, all right. So, okay. So, we'll figure out which drug we're moving. Episode 23 is when we start breaking the law, more so than we already have.
It's about time.
Yeah. All right. So, that's been episode 22 of Nick and Matt's Infinite Shitless. I'm Matt. And thank you for listening. You can always email us at nickandmatt@gmail.com, nickandmatt@gmail.com. Thank you so much to Matt Armstrong for being our guest today.
It was a pleasure.
Nick, are you holding in there in Fort Wayne? You're doing all right?
It's pretty depressing, but I'm here.
Okay. Well, get some black tail, as my friend Paul used to always call it. Get some black tail, and it'll probably cheer you right up.
Yeah, I think it will.
All right, and we'll see you next week.
All right, buddy.
Bye. Yeah.